We're still coming to the second session. Still we have this session and the last one for today. This session, it might lead to a lot of argument. Unfortunately, I don't accept rotten eggs. I don't accept tomato.
How about flour?
I hope so by the end. Unfortunately, I'm going to get this tomato and rotten eggs from the men, not from the women. Because we as men will discover, discover the reality of what God has charged us to do. And we'll wish if we were born women. You will know that. We'll see. Yeah, blessed are the women, for they were really born women. This session supposedly is about leadership and submission, the title, but it includes much more than that. We are going, God's willing, we discuss the role of male and female in the Christian family, whether traditional or non-traditional. And the result of industrialization, what happened in the family, and going of women to work, in career women, the effect on the family, and we discuss certain terms after we read so many passages from the epistles of St. Paul, and then I will discuss certain terms, or if it's not important, I'm going to omit it, and I will go into what's meant by leadership according to what we're going to read from the Bible, and what's meant by submission, and the action between the two in the family. And then finally I will discuss decision making in the family. I will start by types of families and the traditional role of the man and the traditional role of the woman in the family. Traditional means at the time of the agricultural society, the farming society, which is before the 50s in the US. And everywhere, the man was the so-called head of the family. I'm discussing now what's meant by head. I'll discuss who is the real head, supposedly, of the family. The head, provider, husband, father, no housework. This is the traditional role of the male in the traditional family. The traditional role of the female in the traditional family, she was the wife, the mother, and the housewife. So she is the wife for her husband, the mother for the children, and she is responsible about the housework, whether she will do it or she will recruit anybody to do it. And the man is not involved at all in any kind of housework. And he is involved in raising the children through her. طبعاً And you could see that in some of the old shows on the TV, Little House on the Prairie and something like that. They all come. Or some old plays in Egypt, yani. Some old movies. I could remember maybe my grandparents like that. My parents were like that because my mother was not working. We could remember the time when the mother was staying home all the time and she's not frustrated. She has education, university degree, but she's not working. Even the US here, housewife is one of the careers. You could find it on the computer, housewife. A 40,000 career, one of them housewife. But she did not feel at all frustrated in the old days, very comfortable, and still till today, some women, they feel so comfortable. If economically, financially, they could live while she is at home taking care of the house and raising the children. Children used to go to mom. When they return home, mom is there. And mom is waiting for dad to come. When he comes home, children disappear. They go somewhere to keep for dad the quietness of the house. And his wife will help him to change and get ready for the dinner. When the dinner is there, he and she only. Actually, he will eat and she cares for him. These are dreams, fantasies. Don't. Yani, men don't fantasize. It's not now. It cannot be. And of course, he's expecting when he comes, the house smells food, and it's so quiet. Children, no voice for them. I don't know where they are. But mom is for the sake of dad. Everybody, shut up. Till he will take a deep breath and recoil and relax. Then after that, if he will allow and permit, I will allow you to go and stay with him. Dad is the head. Whatever he wants goes. Out of respect between the two, not out of authoritarianism. No, out of respect. The wife respects the need of her husband, and he respects her need when they are alone in their bedroom, not in front of the kids. He respects her a lot in front of the kids. He takes her opinion. She is the mother of the house, the queen of the house, the queen of the kitchen, and the queen of the whole house. And everybody go to death through her. This is traditional family. If it is a Christian traditional family, the man knows that he is under Christ. Christ is the real head. He works, the man works, to get food on the table. But the one who gives him to provide is Jesus Christ. He knows that. He leads his house spiritually because he knows that it is his responsibility. The wife respects his leadership, whether spiritual or in the house. She was never a slave because without her, he cannot function at home. She is everything in the house. She is the spirit of the family. He is working and she's taking care of everything. he sets with her the rules, and she implements the rules in the house. After he finishes his dinner, he could ask his children, how is your school? What happened? You come and kiss the hand of dad. They kiss his hand. After kissing the hand, they could sit in his lap. Give hugs, kisses. But kissing the hand of dad, this was traditional, customary. They love that. أي حد كبير هنا جرب كان طبعا يعني they know was meant by kissing the hand of dad and mom. And if mom doesn't want, dad is a must. And out of respect, not out of fear. This is the life of a traditional family. They could read the Bible. Dad is the one who interpret the Bible. His presence is known. He's the man. He's the leader. Emotional needs of the wife were minimal compared to now. She's very happy whether he will offer her some affection or not. Her needs emotionally are minimal. She's satisfied. The general outlook for the wife in the traditional family, she is satisfied with whatever God will give her. And she budget. He will give her money, and she's the one who controls the budget, takes care of distributing the budget into different areas. He just provides and she distributes. Anybody could relate to what I'm saying? It's so easy for someone my age to relate that, to that. Women at that time, wives, could really budget. You could live on the minimum, and everything is going with the blessing of God. They know how to do a lot of things to save, and life will go, and the blessing is so much. She could have 10 children, and she's not complaining. And all of them, they know, here's mom, we could go to her. And dad would go to him if we need something through mom, or directly if he allows us to come. The older children helps younger ones. The older children could work like another dad, but with full respect to the father, the dad. And if dad departs, mom will be the captain of the family, will be the leader. But representing to the family will be the older brother. And he has to take care of his brother and sister. Financially, he has to. Providing is from the dad or the one who will come after him, the senior brother, the older brother. A system which is still going in certain countries till now. It could be in Upper Egypt till now, could be in Africa. Some countries in Asia is the same system. And everybody respect the system. In farming, sometimes the wife goes to the farm to help, but returns a few hours to prepare the house. Now, with industrialization, women left home to work. And this is a big, great change. Women now became the role of the man in the non-traditional family. And after that, you could choose your own family as you like. You could live traditional or non-traditional. But don't ask for the two. Don't ask for advance from here, benefits from the traditional, and you won't live non-traditional. Because each one has its own system. The man is still the leader. The wife is a co-leader. The man is a provider, and she is a provider too. Husband, and she's a wife. Father, she's a mother. Both of them are involved in housework, but each one has his own areas, or responsible for certain areas, whether they will do by themselves or assign somebody to do it. Say maintenance work, plumbing, electricity, cars for the man, or somebody will do it. But the man could wash the dishes, could be involved in cooking, to go non-traditional. Wife could be working and man not working. She is the only provider. If this is a Christian family, they will look to the money issue as a community property. God giving the money for the whole family. It doesn't matter through him or through her. Both of them are involved. Nothing wrong. It's not shameful. If the man is staying in the morning and his wife working little shift, say if he's working night shift and he come early morning, he sleeps. When he wake up, he cooks. Nothing wrong with that. Or prepare the food for his wife to come and finish it. So both of them cooperate in housework. In the traditional, it was shameful for a man to wash the dishes. His mother would tell him, don't, you'll not be a man. This is women's work. But now, everybody's doing it. Unless you want to be a traditional man and taking the benefit of a non-traditional woman. And it happens. Which means she could work outside the house with you, but inside the house she's the only one working. And the man, it's shameful for him to work. And now you will look for trouble. If the man is living in a non-traditional family and expects what was in the traditional family, he comes, everything is quiet, children not screaming, the food is ready, his wife waiting for him, he will come half an hour after her, and she's waiting for him at the door. He is dreaming, of course. And this could be the source of trouble. So we have to know which family system we want to be in. But Christ is the head of both the two systems. And both of them must submit to his headship. He will delegate the man to do something and the woman to do something else. But the spiritual leader in either is supposed to be the man. But if he will not take charge of his responsibility, the co-leader will step in, which is the woman, the mom. Because somebody must take care of spirituality. But the wife doesn't teach the man spirituality. whether traditional or non-traditional, because he doesn't accept. He doesn't. Or it doesn't benefit him. The Bible is so clear in that, and you will see it. And in counseling, we know it doesn't work. The system of marriage is a one of two. You choose between them. Either utilitarian marriage or intrinsic marriage. Utilitarian means utilities, not focused on the marital relationship, but on parenting issues, raising the kids, taking care of the bills, working outside the house. The last thing to think of, our marital relationship, companionship and intimacy. Intrinsic relationship, a high priority in their life is companionship and intimacy between the two spouses, plus what they are doing in raising the children and taking care of the household. And you have to focus which system you want in your marriage. You want the family, traditional or non-traditional, but the marriage could be utilitarian or intrinsic. I will ask you now, most of your marriages, are they utilitarian, number one, or intrinsic, number two? What do you think? Most of the marriages, are they number one, utilitarian, number two, intrinsic? What do you think the majority are? One or two? The majority, I'm saying, I'm not your marriage. I'm talking about your marriage. You know, if the majority are two, Abuna, he will not visit anybody. No problem, khalas, yeah. Everybody will be so happy. Then we know our defect. Our marriages are focused on the utilities. And I regard raising kids' utilities. Why? Because it's outside the real marital relationship. If I make my children a priority, utilities a priority over my intrinsic relationship with my spouse, then it is a utilitarian marriage and I expect trouble. I expect withering in the marital relationship, which they are going to discover later on in the life. We'll start now to read. We will read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, to know what is meant by headship. Is the man higher than the woman? Or the woman higher than the man? What is the real relationship supposed to be between the two? This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read verses 3, 7, 11, and 12. And then after that, we will read from Ephesians 5, from verse 21 to the end, 33. This part is so important. You add 21, not from 22. And then Colossians 3, 18, 19. Then 1 Peter chapter 3, we will read verses 1 to 4, and then 7, we'll read verse 7, just to compare what was said to the women and the men.
First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God."
Thank you. What is that? What do you think? I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, okay? And the head of the woman or the wife is the man. Okay? And the head of Christ is God. What is it? Three parts of the same verse. What's meant by headship? The head of Christ is God. We believe in the Trinity, but we don't believe in the superiority, supremacy of one hypostasis on the other. Correct? The three are one. So, the head of Christ is God. Actually, it explains, it distorts in the mind of some of you what's meant by head. Head of man is Christ. Head of the woman is man. Head of Christ is God. Any explanation? There's equality between God the Son and the Father. The only begotten Son. We know it. Man out of Christ, out of God. Understand that. Woman out of man. Understand that. It was meant by head. And I give you the lead to think now. What's meant by the word head here? Does it mean superiority, supremacy, something less and something higher, or just out of? Think of it. If the woman is out of the man, and this will be explained later on in verse 11 and 12 same. But think of this, because many of you think in a very distorted way what was meant by the word head. I will keep it and then we'll continue reading now.
Then we'll read the same chapter, verse 7. It says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man."
11 and 12.
And then 11 and 12, "Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman come from man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are from God."
Do you understand the full picture now? Although the woman came from man, the man through the woman become one, become complete in God. She came out of him, but he without her is missing. And neither of them is independent of the other. Neither of them is higher than the other to the eyes of God. لَيْسَتْ مَرْأَمْ دُونَ الرَّبَ وَرَبَمْ دُونَ مَرْأَمْ فِي مَنَ الرَّبَ. Yani, what's meant by that? I have to be about married couple. Without my wife, to God, I am missing. And she, without me, she's missing. Missing someone important. Everybody could live independent. But to the eyes of God, we are one. I wonder if one of you, his wife or her husband, will be away and they are not missing one another. And sometimes in the same house, separate from one another, and of course they are not missing one another. The woman is out of the man, but the man is through the woman. Will be perfect to the eyes of God. So what's meant by headship? at least I have to know, relating Christ to God, there is no supremacy, no superiority. No one is number one and other number two. It's clear, verse 3, verse 11 and 12. Now, what's meant? Man will show the glory of God, and the woman is the glory of man. Just remember from whom we're taken. I am showing the glory of God, because I'm taken from God, which means I could disfigure the glory of God because of my behavior. I am responsible before God, and God treat me as a man, that I am responsible for my household, because the woman is taken from me, so I am responsible, as you're going to see in other chapters. The woman is the glory of man. If the man is showing Christ, of course the woman will show Christ, because he will reflect Christ on her, and she is the mirror of the man. He will see Christ in her. He will see himself in her. She will show him the glory he was supposed to show her. If the woman is a good mirror, without any word, the man will see himself in that mirror. It's foggy, it's a foggy mirror, which means nervous, anxiety, agitation. She will not be able to reflect to the man without a word what he is doing. Every man needs a good, clear mirror to see what he is doing. Because we will see later in 1 Peter 3 that the woman, God created her to have a very special gift, which is calmness, quietness, gentleness. This is the spirit of gentleness and calmness, which is so precious to the eyes of God, which will keep the mirror clear. Any woman, if she would change her spirit for any reason, she would not be able to reflect to the man what he's doing, and he would be so confused and perplexed, because it's against what the Bible is saying. We'll go now to Ephesians 5, which the church reads in our wedding ceremonies, but we start reading from verse 22, and this is the reason of all the perplexion and confusion. Although all the other Orthodox churches are reading in the same wedding ceremony, starting verse 21, to make it easy for everybody to understand. And they recommended that to Ambabola. And of course he knows, and he told me he will take it to the Holy Synod, because it explains a lot what we want to say about the meaning of these verses. So be careful of verse 21, Ephesians 5, which explains what's coming after that.
Submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Verse 21. Yes.
Wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Thank you. Did you watch over the last verse? Did the man loves his wife and the woman respect her husband? This is exactly the meaning of submission. Submit one to another in the fear of God, which means both of you respect one another because you are in the presence of God, who is in the marriage. Don't act like children. You are adults. Respect one another because your Lord and Savior is in front of you. Live in his fear, respecting him, reverencing him, because submission is respect. Why God, who knows that it is two-way street in the relationship, both respect and love is between both. I mean, the man will love and respect, and the woman respect and love. But why he said to the woman respect? And why he said to the man love? And he knows that both of them has to do those two things. Because God the Creator, our Christ, knows that. He knows our nature. He knows the gender difference, of course, because he's our Creator. He knows if the man is not respected in his home, he would feel so bad. If the woman is not loved in the relationship, she would feel so bad. This is the beginning. If the man will feel disrespected, he will go further, more than feeling bad. He would be nervous, depressed, and he could be shattered into pieces if he would feel so disrespected. The woman, if she feels that she's not loved, she will wither gradually. She will wither and wither and wither, and she become nervous, and she could attack. So God knows our nature. Everybody is waiting to be respected and loved. But in particular, and they cannot change the recipe of God, because he said it in three different books of the Bible. Love and submission. Submission and love. Respect and love. When you say the same fact, you repeat it more than one time in the Bible with the same words, it means it's so important and God means it. And it goes with secular psychology. We know that as a fact. If a wife feels that she's not number one in the heart of her husband, she will start to wither. And of course, if you disrespect her role, she would feel bad. If the man loses his job, he would be so disturbed. If the woman loses her job, and her family is good, she will not feel that disturbed. I'm talking about average men and average normal men. Average men and average women. Not the chauvinist, not the feminist. Not the androgynous women, not the weak men. I'm talking about normal in their behavior, with their gender character as God made them. Because a lot of changes now. Because the woman value the stability of her family. She work to provide. Destroy the family, the woman feels so bad and she could be destroyed. More than the man. Although the man loves his family. The man will get depressed faster if he loses his job or he doesn't function well in his job. Usually women comes first to the priest, tell him, I am feeling something going wrong in my family. She's so sensitive to the well-being of the family, although both of them are working. So God charged the woman mainly to respect her man and don't point out his weaknesses in a graphic way. Don't point towards his weaknesses, because the man could be crumbled, crashed easily. If you want really to destroy your husband, disrespect him. Go against God and do exactly what Satan wants you to do. And if you want to destroy the woman, show her that you don't love her anymore. She's nothing to you. Yes, you'll achieve what you want, but you're going against God, what God wants from you. Unfortunately, for us men, it's not only the love we are responsible for, or the respect. There are too many responsibilities mentioned in that chapter. The man is responsible spiritually about the wife. To be a vessel without a blemish before God. My goodness. The man is responsible to be a clean vessel, holy vessel without a blemish. Who could take that responsibility? If my wife sins, I am responsible before God. Yes. Because you did not show her the Christ. You did not show her Christ, the glory of Christ in you. That's why when we pray at night, we give a report about our wife, our wives, and our children. God, please forgive me. Because my son did such and such. My wife did such and such. And I cannot decline my responsibility. Because he told me, you are responsible. Or else, you would not be a man. The man is responsible for nourishing and cherishing his wife. As Christ does to the church. طب سيبها يا ربنا بس سيبها من غير قياس دي. يعني يقول لك ايه؟ Love your wife. Men love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. طب بلاش as Christ loved the church. يعني الطريقة صعبة شوية. يعني أنا am supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church the same way and give myself for her as he gave himself for the church. Yeah, I sacrifice myself completely. And if she commits any sin, I am responsible for that before God. And I have to nourish her and cherish her feeling too. That means I have. This is the man. This is the responsibility of the man. And unfortunately, before we continue, I just want Abuna to read verse 7 of 1 Peter 3 to complete the picture. Then I'll continue what I want to say.
1 Peter 3, verse 7, husband likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered.
This verse also is very convicting. It's very hard for a man. If I don't honor my vessel, the word weak vessel doesn't mean that they are weak. Women outlive men. They are not weak. Who lives longer? Women, of course. So, in what way they are weak? He means weak vessel like, you know, the china vessel? And vase made of very precious china material. The thinner the material, the more expensive the vessel will be. Correct? The thicker the material, the cheaper will be the vessel. If you have a real china vessel, you keep it in a place with light focused on it, and it's so thin, so precious. If I don't honor that vessel, come now, my prayers are not going to be accepted. My prayers are not going to be accepted if I don't honor my vessel as something precious. Who wants to be a man? Who wants to take the responsibility of a man? And women are crying because St. Paul told them, please submit or respect. And he said the same, verse 21, submit one to another, which means humble yourselves and respect one another, because you are in the presence of the so-called your God, your Lord. عيب تعمل كده. Respect one another, because God is looking over you. طب he told the man submit to. He told the woman submit. Then he added to the man so many responsibilities. Every time I deal with that subject, I ask God, why? Why you create me a man? To be judged more? This is what's meant by the subject. And we are members of Christ out of his bones and flesh. And when we realize that, therefore the man shall leave his father and mother and cleave. It has a meaning. If we realize that both of us are parts of Christ, and in Genesis, she's part of me, born of my bones, flesh of my flesh. The verse directly after that in Genesis 2 and Ephesians, the man, which means marriage cannot be established unless we feel that we are part of Christ and she is part of you. Based on that, the man will start marrying, will start leaving, cleaving, and uniting. But if the man doesn't feel that, going in marriage is wrong. As Genesis 2 is saying, and here Ephesians 5. We will read two verses very similar to Ephesians, Colossians 3. And then we'll go to 1 Peter. By the way, 1 Peter chapter 3, first four verses is called Gospel of Femininity. If you really want to be feminine, read 1 Peter 3, 1-4. It's called Gospel of Femininity. So we'll read Colossians and then 1 Peter 2.
Wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them.
What's meant by wife, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord? Which means, if he will ask you to do something which is not fitting in the Lord, don't do it. And what's meant by husband, love your wife, and don't what? Don't bitter their life. Don't make them feel bitter. Don't be cruel. Don't act cruel towards them. I see discrimination in that. Rabbi is discriminating women. I mean, he gives to women more rights. Yeah, he says to the woman, okay, but if he will tell you something which is not fitting in me, don't respect it. We will the rugged, okay, love her. And don't make her life bitter. Is that compassion from God towards women? Does he feel the man could endure more? I don't know. But it's going with the same direction, same flow. The area of the man is to love and the woman to respect. We'll do it as two-way street.
1 Peter 3, verse 1 to 4. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God.
So many basic facts are in these four verses. The first verse is, if you have a husband who doesn't obey the word of God, what to do? Have to win him to Christ. If this is your goal, he doesn't obey the word of God. He doesn't come to church. He's not a believer. What do you do to win him to Christ? You could win him to Christ without one single word, through your chaste conduct. Everybody observe their chaste conduct, the women, chaste, their chaste conduct in fear and reverence to God. If she has a chaste conduct, all men observe that with reverence to God, because the vessel is so precious in obeying and obeying the command of God. It has a chaste conduct, controlled conduct. So the wife cannot win her husband to Christ with teaching, with words, but she could win him to Christ by her conduct, without a word, without a single word. Number two, facts. Chaste conduct is so important. Everyone is looking for the woman in the house, in reverence of God. Number three, outer adornment is not as precious as inner adornment. Outer, the hair, the jewelry, the clothes, although it's needed, but the one which is precious to the eye of God, the incorruptible adornment, is the gentle and the quiet spirit. If a woman loses, verse 4, she lost everything. If a woman loses the gentle and the quiet spirit, which is incorruptible and so precious to the eyes of God, she lost her femininity. Outer adornment is zina al-khariqiyya, dafr al-sha'ar, التحلي بالذهب ولبس الثياب. مش ممكن تقارنوها بإنسان القلب الخفي العديم الفساد، الروح الهادي الوديع الذي عند الله غير الثمن. You can't compare the outer with the inner. So men, if you are focusing on the outer, you are mistaken. And women, if you are focusing on the outer adornment, you are mistaken. This is not your real gospel. How to win your husband to Christ? Verse 1. How you could reverend God? Verse 2. And verse 3 and 4 in that epistle, chapter 3, will tell you which is more precious and how to be a real feminine. Think of Virgin Mary. Just think of Virgin Mary, the quiet and gentle spirit. So clear. If you women have something which is troubling you and you will get out of that precious adornment, be careful, because you are losing the spirit set already inside you. God set a spirit inside you. And don't disturb it. And by disturbing this, you will not be the mirror which will show the man his mistakes. If you are keeping your gentle, quiet spirit, without a word, he will see his behavior and the effect of his behavior on you. A message for every woman. And for the men, verse 7. Your prayer are not going to be accepted if you don't honor your precious vessel. These verses are quite sufficient to explain the whole dialogue. There's no argument, no discussion. It's so clear. Now, what are the characters of a Christian leader? The woman is the co-leader. If the man is not giving sufficient leadership, especially in the spiritual area, she has to do it for the sake of the house and the children, but without teaching the men. Children, yes. The Christian leader must have the following characters. Number one, listen to that. He cannot be an authoritarian, because God is not authoritarian. Controlling. What I say must go. What I say must be done. This is authoritarianism. This is not God. But the leader, Christian leader, must be authoritative. He knows how to delegate, how to communicate, how to understand the members of his household, with his wife and children. Authoritative, not authoritarian. If the woman was charged with one S, submit, the man was charged now, as you are coming to see, with five S's. Number one, the Christian leader must be submissive, must be sensitive, must be sacrificial, must be spiritual servant. Again, submissive, sensitive, sacrificial, spiritual servant. This is the leader. This description fits who? Jesus Christ. Authoritative, humble. Of course, very spiritual, sacrificial, sensitive servant. Did he serve? Did he come to serve or to be served? He came to serve. And what's the best example of serving his disciples? John 13. What he did? Washing the feet. You cannot be a servant unless you know what's meant by washing the feet. I may say it tomorrow. Not today. But what's meant? To be sensitive. Submissive, we said, okay, we'll be humble and respectful. What's meant by sensitive? I mentioned the brain and the heart. And for now, over 15 years, I'm repeating that. Anybody who understands in the human anatomy and the biology could answer that question. Which is more important, the brain or the heart? Into the body, which is more important, the brain or the heart? Look. You mean they're equal in value? Yes, both are important. Are they equal in value to the body? Could the brain survive without the heart, or the heart survive without the brain? No. Is the brain higher in level, in authority, than the heart? Okay, I'm not going to give you best apply. Show me what you're going to do. If the heart will say, I am the life, I am the blood, okay, I'm not giving you nerve supply. Show me what you're going to do. So what's meant by sensitive? I will give you a fact which is very shocking. Shocking to you. The brain senses any little touch, even to the nail of the little toe. If you touch a hair, he will feel. And he will give a response, move the foot now, a danger is coming. He's so sensitive to all parts of the body. If you get a knife and cut through the brain, he doesn't feel. The brain doesn't feel for himself. But he feels for every inch of the body. Is it clear now what I want to say? If you want to be the brain, if you want to be the head, you don't feel for yourself. Feel for all the other members before you. Put them ahead of you. Feel for the children. Feel your spouse. Don't feel for yourself. But the problem is sometimes we feel so much for ourselves. If we feel for ourselves, it's a disease. It's called low self-esteem or depression. Ideologically, the brain feels for every part and protects every part. This is the brain, sensitive. Of course, sacrificing as Christ. It's mentioned, first Ephesians, love your wife as Christ loved the church and give himself for her. Spiritual, you're the spiritual leader. Your prayer is not going to be accepted. You are responsible to keep your vessel clean and pure without any blemish. Spiritual leadership. And servant. You have to serve. If you are a leader, Christian leader, you have to serve as Christ did. If I am the Lord and your teacher, wash your feet. You ought to do it one to another. Review John 13. This is Christ. And if anybody wants to be the leader in his house, he has to follow that. You have to be giving. You have to provide both nourish and cherish. You have to be wise. You have to be responsible. Responsible, wise, provide, giving with the five S's and the authoritative characters of a Christian leader. For the word submit, you will find 15, as in the Amplified Bible, 15 descriptions. All of them describe what's meant by submission, which is for both. But if this is not given to the man who is the leader, he could break easily if you don't respect him, as I have mentioned. All these you get it from the Amplified Bible. I will go now fast because the tape is going to finish soon. Who makes the decision in your family? Who's the boss? I have never seen one good Christian family complaining of who's the leader, who's supposed to be the head, and who's supposed to submit. I have never seen. If someone comes to tell me, I have to be a head, what's meant by head? I know Christ is not seen in that family because he is the head. In difficult situations, who makes the final decision? Of course I am, because I am the man, I am the head. If this will be the policy, I'm telling you, the house will be destroyed. Both the two, as all of you know, in good families, make the decision. And in very difficult situation and important situation, major decision, like say moving from this, from Chicago to Florida, the wife doesn't and the man won't, or vice versa, it cannot be taken in one day, this decision. You pray, you sleep on it, and pray, and pray. And then you go to your mentor, discuss with your spiritual guide, your mentor in marriage, your father of confession, your, the one who's guiding you in your marriage, the one whom I call the refuge. Both of you must feel accountable to him. And he has to be not a member of your family. You feel accountable. Whatever he's going to say, it will go. So you discuss with one another the decision. Everyone will get data, information, analyze it, you know, problem-solving approach. And now there are two choices. I prefer number one more than number two. And he will start with the same information, analyzes the data and give options, and he prefers number one. One or two, we start to discuss without hurting one another, without humiliating one another, without putting down, without labeling, without comparison with our families, because Christ is sitting with us on the table. If we can't reach a resolution, we'll get out of the situation without making a decision, but we're friends. Any label, you stupid, you foolish, you can't understand, you never understand. My mom did such and such. Your mom did such and such. My cousin. All these destroy the relationship. And the relationship is much more important than the decision. Always. Marital relationship is much more important than the decision, whatever the decision is. be careful about the marital relationship. If you go, you could set another time, another place to return and discuss. It's not an urgent decision. By moving from Chicago to Florida is an urgent decision. They fi khatar Florida ya amla fi Chicago. Florida wahsh. Or I'm going to sell my business and sell the house and get the money and make a tour around the world. And then when we return, we'll try to start again. And you are, of course, not accepting. What to do? Tomorrow in the morning, this was at night. Tomorrow in the morning, I'm going to sell my business. It's a decision. I made it already. I'm going to sell my business, sell the house, and everybody will start around the whole world, a trip, a dream. Request 3 days prayer. Just with it longer, with the opinion of God. And maybe God will get in the situation, the head of the house, and show you. Most probably, with the prayer postponed for the 3 days, you know, what's said at night will not be in the morning. But you pray for it. Situation which needs prayer, needs mentor, a refuge to go to. But ordinary decisions, small decisions, whoever makes decisions, not important. Hey, going to a movie, going to whatever. كبر مخك يعني الشرط تجيك لكبر مخك. The most wise is what? Any decision anybody can do it. It's easy. Okay, children go to Christian school or Catholic school or public school. So common. Discussion. It's a major decision or a minor decision? Is something fatal, life-saving decision? If they go to Christian 1 year, no, go to Catholic. If not, go to public. Do we lose our marriage because of that? And live with another? And I still remember, say 20 years ago, my husband told me, "You stupid." It will never be forgotten. So be away. Look for the decision. And look for the consequences of how to handle the decision. Usually in Christian families, both the two decide, not only one. If one feels that he has to or she has to make the decision, this is not Christianity. Go to your God, put the matter within his hand, or go to your refuge, discuss with him, and it could be sorted out. But don't lose yourself.